It is necessary to investigate before legislating. But the line between investigating and persecuting is a very fine one.
The investigators tell us it seems the suspect was going to pass them, then turned and fired.
Laura, what you're seeing behind me is one of multiple locations.
I rise to support the impeachment of President Donald J. Trump.
And I'm about to talk to him about allegations that he was involved with prostitutes in Moscow and that the Russians taped it and have leverage over him.
My friend, thank you for coming on today.
Hello, Taylor. How are you doing? Thank you very much for inviting me on your show again. It's always a great pleasure, in fact, to discuss the situation, especially in the global environment that we are facing, in regard of the fact that the instability all over the world is set up, and we might be facing a lot of terrible events in the next 6 months, either in Europe because of the conflict that is opposing Ukraine to Russia, and, of course, United States and Israel are facing Iran.
Well, my friend, I wanted to bring you on because I saw Marine Le Pen's party was bubbly and jumping up and down because of what's going on in France. Is Macron going to lose power? What's happening?
Well, you know, we should be very cautious regarding, in fact, the appearance. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing a lot of thinking in regard of the question that you have been asking me, and I would like, in fact, to backtrack a little bit in the way that we can understand how we have been ending into this situation. I do believe, after so much thinking and analysis, that Macron has been putting together the architecture of the French political landfill destruction, and he did it on purpose and consciously. And so basically, let's look a little bit what has been happening for the last 9 years in France to understand what is going to be the next step. So I do believe that his goal was about, in fact, to destroy the political structure in the way that it will be replaced by a supranational entity called the European Union. Mm-hmm. And his ambition is about to be the president of Europe. That is certainly the reason why he has been destroying all the parties. So basically, initially, Macron, when he entered politics, he has been pursued as Minister of the Economy, and we didn't know where this guy is coming from. An invented family, a troubled relationship with a woman, said that it's a man. Story that has been humiliating France during the last 9 very long and painful years. Mm-hmm. He has constituted governments out of the blue, pumping selectively people from the center, the left, and the right parties, but excluding the extremities, the extreme right and the extreme left. So basically, the fact that all those politicians have been accepting, in fact, to reach its government is showing at which point those guys, they have absolutely no conviction. Mm-hmm. They are looking for glories, for light, incentives, and high salary. But at the end of the story, let's look at what has been happening at the end. All those three major parties that were constituting the base of our political system has been completely wiped out. There is absolutely nobody within, in fact, those parties right now, which leave, in fact, two extreme parties, the Mélenchon and the Marine Le Pen / Bardella, mm-hmm. which are mm-hmm. completely in opposition. And I do believe that this is not going to fit the requirements that the nation is going to follow up on for the next election. So, basically, right after his election, he has been implementing the 2030 agenda of the WEF to satisfy, of course, his sponsors with the carbon tax, the LGBT movement, which has been leading to the destruction of the national cohesion and leave, in fact, in total disarray the image of our nation. You remember the episode of the Yellow Jacket? And he was not able, in fact, to settle down the situation. Fortunately, the COVID has been helping and saving Private Macron. During about 3 years, we had people every weekend in the street protesting and setting up major trouble within, in fact, all the cities. It was a situation absolutely chaotic. And this guy was not able, in fact, to understand what the people wanted. And the people wanted, in fact, to live decently over the salaries, which was not the case. And it's even worse right now. We will go through that in a while. So basically, what we have been observing is that his Machiavellian tactic is about to oppose people to each other. And especially during the COVID-19 orchestrating a massive campaign of denigration against those people refusing the transgenic injection. And what we know today is that the number of cancer in France has been increasing by 1,260%. We are looking at our demographic right now, and there are more people dying than people, than kids getting born. Mm-hmm. Which is like worrisome for the next.
What about the Muslim population? Are they growing faster than the whites? Of course, right?
Well, there is two phenomenon here. And this is something that I wanted, in fact, to talk about in the next chapter I want to speak about. You have the population that has been migrating during the 70s, because during the period of the 50s, 70s, in fact, to rebuild France after the Second World War. And the third generation does not want to match our requirements in terms of way of living. So basically, they are seceding in regard of our way or our constitution and our way of living. But Macron has been putting together all the mechanism necessary to increase this phenomenon even in the worst manner. The last 9 years, he has been opening the gate for immigration at the pace of, if I remember well, I think it's 28,000 people every month, every month for almost 10 years. What does it mean? It means that the population in France has been increasing by 3.5 million people coming from abroad without the same culture, without the same way of living, without the same way of doing things and thinking and so on. People that cannot integrate themselves because they cannot understand the way that we have been evolving for the last 200 years, you see? So basically, effectively, we have like this demographic that is exogenous, and we have the demographic coming from a Muslim population that is way above, in fact, what the resident of France, the rates that the resident of France used to have. So effectively, right now, we are facing something like 12 to 14 million people that are not related to our way of living. And this is major. This is really major. I don't know if you have been seeing what has been happening today in La Baule. La Baule is a kind of residential summer station where people that has a certain standard of living are living in or coming to enjoy, in fact, weekends or vacation. And we have like a horde of 200 to 300 people that has been taking the train to go inside of the resort and destroy everything and beat the people in the street. It was just unbelievable. It used to be a place where people are relaxing, and suddenly it became a zone of chaos. We're not used to that. You know, we want to live decently. We want to live in peace. And right now we have a chunk of population that want to secede and want to impose, in fact, their chaos way of living, you see? So Basically, to come back to the story of Macron, the last 9 years, what we have been witnessing is a sort of valse of minister to the point that from a month to another one, we cannot even remember the name of the ministers. Can you believe that in 9 years, we had 6 prime ministers, 7 ministers of education, and so on? So basically, what Macron is doing is taking one guy, force him, in fact, to impose a reform, which is against, in fact, the will of the population or its well-being. And at the end of the story, as soon as the job is done, because he's using an article of our constitution called 49.3 to impose a law without having to vote for it. Okay? Mm-hmm. So basically, as soon as this is done, he takes the guy through it. And he has been doing this during 9 years to a point that right now his government is dried out. They have absolutely no credibility, no power, nothing. But this is done on purpose. Don't forget what is his final goal. So basically, you might think that he is in a weakness situation when, in fact, it's not, because this is what he wanted.
So he he wants to destroy the French system of government to bring in a new system, is what you're saying, correct?
He wants to make sure that this is Europe that is going to lead the way that nations need to behave and need to roll out their legislation. And actually, what is kind of surprising is that he knows that Mélenchon has, meaning the far left, has absolutely no chance to take the power. But he's very scared of Marine Le Pen or Bardella, because we don't know who is going to be introduced and entronized to present to the future election in 2027. Mm-hmm. Marine Le Pen has a major lawsuit on the shoulder, and now she is in the expectation to be expelled out of the election. So Bardella is just bumping the torso, saying, oh, I am going to be the big boy, I'm going to lead the country and this and that, because the media on top of it are pushing him to the top. And I do believe that, and this is a technique that the media are practicing a lot in France, because when they want a guy to be completely shut down, they are pushing him above, and as soon as he's as high as necessary, then they find a story, in fact, to kill him. Mm-hmm. And actually, there is something very fishy in this story, because, you know, Bardella, when you listen to his speeches within the European Union Parliament, if you put him a skirt and a wig, a blonde wig, you have the feeling to hear von der Leyen. Mm-hmm. So basically, I do believe that he is an under control kind of opposition. And when you see his alignment to NATO, his alignments to Ukraine, his alignments to the European Union, to the Euro system, and so on, you're like, whoa, are you sure you are a party of opposition?
So he is the guy that was going to be the savior of, you know, of Marine Le Pen and basically save France. And you're saying he's on the take, it looks like, from Ursula, is what you're saying. Right?
Of course, he's under control. And on top of it, he's a liar, because I'm going to give you a scoop. Mm-hmm. He is not heterosexual. He has been
pretty well known.
Well, he was all over the newspaper with a blonde kind of noble woman, very fresh and so on. Yeah. In fact, to build a story that does not make any sense at all, because nobody is a fool, you know, in this story. We all know. If you look at his behavior, the way that he speaks, the way that he's moving his hand and so on, you understand immediately who is he, you know. So basically, this guy...
Let me ask you, did he work for Rothschild Bank just like Macron? I mean, is it
not yet. He might be hired after he would be elected. I cross my finger that the people in France will be lucid enough, in fact, to understand who is he and the kind of individual we will have to deal with. Mm-hmm. Actually, you know, I cross my finger very hard that Philippe de Villiers, who used to be a minister in the 80s, And a guy who is extremely well structured, and he has a level of culture, understanding of relationship between nations, the legislative system. He's like a well of knowledge. You know, this guy is really brilliant. And there is a channel in France called CNews that is pushing him to the top every Friday. I do believe that at the lastest moment, he will propose his candidature.
If you haven't noticed, gold has reached a new high, all-time highs, actually, and keeps going up every day. Why is that? It's because precious metals are a long-time historical store of value. And if you own a portfolio and you have assets in the fiat currencies, i.e. stocks, bonds, cash, or whatever, you're vulnerable to hyperinflation, which is coming as our debt explodes another trillion every 90 days. It's really scary. So how do you protect yourself? Go to Advisor Metals. If you look on any of our CDM.press sites, about halfway down, there's an ad for Advisor Metals. Click on it, fill out the form for your contact info, and Igor Bashatsky will contact you and talk to you. It's an easy conversation. There's no sales pitch. He's completely verified by us. He has a regulatory background we've checked into. We've checked with his bankers. We've checked with his IRA custodians for metals. And we can highly recommend Advisor Metals and ERA. So go to Advisor Metals. If you call them directly, tell them we sent you at CDM, and he'll definitely take care of you. But protect your portfolio, because you really need to. It's coming. Thank you.
Your government doesn't care about you. That's why you need a medical emergency kit. It contains life-saving medications like ivermectin, Z-Pak, and antibiotics. Stock them before they block them.
To the election. And if it does not, then we have a problem. And it's very serious. Do you see Attal, who has been 3 months Minister of the Education, who is also a very nice little boy, you know, and 6 months Prime Minister, he hasn't been doing anything in his life, nothing. And on top of it, he is lying regarding his origins. And I'm going to explain you. His grandfather used to be from Ukraine, and his real name is Korisov. He used to live 80 kilometers from Odessa in the north. They had a massive castle, and during the Bolshevik Revolution, they have been moving to France, and they have been changing their name. So basically, from Korisov, they get called De Koris, and his mother has been getting married with a Jewish guy, Ashkenaz, from Morocco. And this is how he has been propelled into the political system. When he didn't finish his studies, he was just like coming out of the blue. At the beginning, he had a relationship with a young woman who was extremely influential in the political system, but he was just lying regarding his nature. He has been using her. That's all. So basically, if you look at the political landfield and the people acting within our political parties, you just realize that, honestly speaking, if you had in fact to elect one of those guys, who you would choose? Because none of them, absolutely none of them, are respecting their population, are working in the sense of the well-being of the population. They are just like a line on a system of corruption in the way that they can fill their pocket as much as they can.
It's very similar all over the world. As you know, it's you see all these globalist governments, and it's the same techniques, you know.
Well, it has been taking proportions at this level that are very scary. Macron has been selling 220 companies that were, structurally speaking, strategic for our industries. And we do believe that he has been receiving commission out of it, absolutely monstrous. Example, the story of Alstom. There was a book that has been written by one of our deputy, Mr. Morlex. We found Mr. Morlex a few weeks before to release the book, hanging in his office and his feet touching the ground. How can you die with your feet touching the ground if you're hanging yourself? This is absolutely impossible. So basically, what we are facing up here is a total disarray of the political landfield of our country, without any replacement, but one guy that can be like a providential, but is he going, in fact, to make the step out of the risk it represents? I don't know.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know. Now, if we have to come back to Macron himself, there is just one word that is coming to my mind. It's called the humiliation of a transgressive individual complacent with borderline rules and ideology. Several events to picture the full story of his mandate. Remember his first meeting with Trump, when Donald Trump grabbed him by the hands and pulled him as if it was a little boy. And you see this guy smiling like stupidly, like as if he was following his father. This image for me is just terrible. It is a resume of who is this guy. When he's sitting in front of Vladimir Putin, in fact, to convince him for not attacking, knowing that, in fact, this is a Ukrainian, that they were ready to attack the Donbas in 2022. And he put him at the extremity of a six-meter Chippendale table. The symbol is absolutely incredible, meaning, I don't want to talk to you. You are going to stay at a certain distance. You can make the talk. I'm going to be having a good sleep. And when it's finished, I'm going to come back to my office to work.
Well, Macron, if I'm not wrong, just made a big deal of calling Lukashenko and telling him, you know, don't come into the war. I mean, am I right? I mean, was he scolding Lukashenko in Belarus?
Honestly speaking, does he have any credibility? Remember what has been happening when he visited Xi Jinping with von der Leyen. Xi Jinping has been sitting him on the small tabouret. He has a table under the chin. So basically, if you look at most of the real leaders in the world, nobody's taking him seriously. And Macron, what he don't understand is that there is a cabinet that has been set up in Russia, which is led by Sergei Glazyev. I met with Glazyev two times last year, in May and in June. And what I have been understanding is that there is a lot of work that are set up, in fact, to merge the two countries. For which reason? Because in such a geopolitical environment, being a nation of 9 million people in this geographic context, with the Baltics, with the Polish, it is kind of very risky. And you can get like attacked from a different side.
Yeah, they have the union state. I mean, that is a political union. It's not full yet, but I think they're moving in that direction.
Yeah. And actually, I was discussing with Glazyev, and I was saying that, you know, how it is possible that you are not envisioning, in fact, to merge the two states. Mm-hmm. And they say, well, this is what we are working on. So basically, I do believe that one of these days, Belarus, Lukashenko is going to announce that they are going to merge to be like, because Belarus and Russian people, they are the same people, the same culture, same language, the same mentality. And so basically, they have been splitting after the Berlin Wall has been collapsing. But I do not see the reason why they wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. There is absolutely, and on top of it, Belarus not producing so much and having an industry that is limited, being integrated into such a country, well, that would be helping the population, in fact, to boost their standard of living, you see?
Well, and on top of it, about Eastern Europe in a second, but let's finish Macron. What do you think is going to happen to him? What do you think is coming for France?
So, well... in regard of the way that he tries, in fact, to influence the situation with Belarus, he is like this kind of a little rooster that tried to bomb the torso, but he don't have the means of it. Look at what he has been doing during the Iranian crisis.
Yeah.
He has been sending the Charles de Gaulle, in fact, to Cyprus. For what? After Israel has been bombing the airport, in fact, in the false flag, what he was doing there is absolutely no sense. Do you see Macron giving the order of our army, in fact, to go after Belarus, knowing that those guys, they got equipped with MiG-31 and a nuclear missile with Oreshnik. This is nonsense. If our military people are lucid enough, they would never, ever try to make a move on this kind of risk, because I can ensure them 100% that the answer would be swift, quick, and violent. Because
what do you think is going to happen to Macron? Is he going to stay in power, or will what plays out in France?
Well, let's look at the global picture on the economical point of view. The Iran crisis, which is a catalyzer, is going to kill completely the European economy, and especially ours, because we are one of the pillars that is supporting, on a financial point of view, Europe. Macron is just like trying to send check in blank, here and there, promising Africa that he will help them by sending $17 billion. We are not even able, in fact, to raise money on the market to support our debt right now. We are in a debt trap. And on top of it, if you look at the impact that the Iran crisis had on the economy, this is really scary. Yeah. The PMI index has been dropping to 42.3. You realize what does it mean?
At 50, I mean, you're not making anything. Yeah.
Exactly. So basically, the rate of unemployment is going to skyrocket to 10.5 to 11%. And this guy wants, in fact, to sustain the effort of war against Russia. This is nonsense. But don't forget one thing. He's a transgressive individual. So basically, he might be surfing on the pseudo-risk that he would be inventing with Merz. Stammer will be completely out of the equation. And perhaps that he will surf, in fact, this instability and this fear the way he has been doing it during the COVID crisis, to cancel the election by saying, oh, we are going to be attacked by Russia and this and that, and we are going to cancel the election. Or
when is the election? When is it supposed to be?
This is May 2027. Okay. Or what he would do is, as Bardella would be climbing in the poll, that would be triggering some kind of brawling in the streets, because the leftists would never accept Bardella to be at the heads of the country. This would be triggering massive instability within the country, with protests, with fights in the street, and this and that, and saying, okay, you see, we have two parties that cannot, in fact, discuss with each other, and we cannot leave one of them at the head of the state. So basically, because of this instability and this crazy story in the street, I am entitled, in fact, to cancel the election until, in fact, the stability is reset in the country. You don't know. But honestly speaking, I do believe that one of the two scenarios has its way, in fact, to make sure that he will be staying in power.
So there's really no answer for France to get out from under this tyranny at the moment.
There is another factor that I would like, in fact, to raise on the table. The Iranian crisis is not going to be settled down before long, because the Iranian, having the higher hands and being in the strong position in regard of the negotiation, are not going to accept anything coming from Donald Trump. So basically, either Trump is raising the stake on a military point of view, which will end up into a gigantic disaster. Because if the Iranians, they are hitting on all the infrastructure, and we cannot get a drop of oil in the next 10 years, you can imagine the consequences on the global economy in the world. It's going to be a disaster. So basically, in the next months or so, there wouldn't be any drop of jet fuel in Europe. Finish. End of the story. So what does it mean? The airliners are going down. No tourists. Yeah. And actually, tourism in France is a major part of our GDP. So yeah, you can imagine.
Europe is a museum. I mean, if you don't have tourists, your economy collapses. There's nothing else. Your industry is gone.
It's 12% of the GDP. So basically, if you put the population in a situation, they cannot go vacation after working an entire year. They are exhausted. They cannot afford, in fact, to make a move, to go to a restaurant, to go out, to go to the beach, or to get some rest. On top of it, the tourist economy going down, you can imagine the tension that we might be facing in September. Because, you know, I see the level of violence that is growing and the level of discontentment that is rising in the country. People are really pissed off. Really, really. When you are on the, when you go to supermarket and you discuss with people and you go to market in the farmer or so on, you listen to people.
Divorce is tough, but your finances don't have to be. I'm David Cross, and I'm a certified divorce financial analyst practitioner. My job is to help you get a fair financial settlement in your divorce and to guide you to smarter money decisions. Find out how we can help you. U.S. Asset Management, it's your money and your future.
Every day, your data is being tracked, collected, and sold, often without you even realizing it. Big tech companies control your devices, your apps, and the information you share. From your messages to your browsing habits, everything is being monitored and stored. Over time, we've traded privacy for convenience, and most people don't even question it. But what if you could take that control back? That's where Mark 37 comes in. Mark 37 provides privacy-focused phones, laptops, and tablets designed to give you full control over your digital life. With secure systems, expert support, and simple tools, they make it easier to step away from constant tracking and data collection. Because privacy isn't just a feature, it's a fundamental choice. It's about protecting your data, your freedom, and your future. Take back control of your digital life with Mark 37.
By the way, let me just highlight, you saw the ad for mark37.com/CDM. And by the way, I wanted to say I'm starting my journey with Sean. I'm going to be getting a Ghost phone and then upgrading to a Ghost computer soon, because I am going to unplug from the Matrix. And you can follow me along on my journey. So mark37.com/CDM is where you want to go to do that. Find the webinar, sign up for the webinar, and learn everything you need to know to get started. And then you can also sign up for a free 30-minute consultation on privacy there at mark37.com/CDM. But I'm looking forward to it, and I have been worried about privacy for some time, so I'm going to be taking the plunge and changing my life and unplugging from the Matrix, and I'm really looking forward to it, so maybe you can join me.
You feel a level of frustration and anger that you cannot even imagine. So basically, what we are facing here is a sort of next episode of the Yellow Jacket. But this time, as everybody is going to be concerned because the frustration is growing across any slice of the population, if there is a convergence, you can imagine what can happen in September or October. And therefore, this is at that moment that Macron is going to be in difficulty.
Do you think there will be, for lack of a better term, civil war or conflict between the ethnicities, like the white French and some of the migration, where you have a lot of no-go zones in France? Will there be a war between that population that doesn't want to assimilate in France and wants to make it a Muslim kingdom and the white population, or what? What do you think?
We are observing a level of aggression by the months that is growing in a very significant manner. And when I say significant manner, when I remember being 20 years old, I was going out at night with my friends, girls, guys, without any problem. Now, when you go out, you need to be very careful about where you go, with who you go, and how you go. And this level of stress that is increasing, one day there will be something happening, like it happens in England, for example, when those girls, they have been raped and killed after that will trigger, in fact, a movement of population. French people are very patient, you know, but this is like the same like across all the countries in the world. If you pass a certain threshold, then it will explode. Mm-hmm. So basically, we are observing a sort of convergence of economical difficulties with frustration and anger. We are seeing instability because of the level of insecurity that is growing in the country. And on top of it, a government that continues to be abusive in regard of the financial aspect of the way that people are living. Mm-hmm. Example, they could have been lowering the tax, managing, in fact, the oil distribution. No, they don't touch it. So basically, right now, we are paying the equivalence of $10 per gallon. $10 per gallon. When in every country in Europe, they have been lowering the taxes in the way that people they can move, in fact, to go to work. Because if you go to work to feed the car instead of your family, the way it happens in 2008 in the United States, actually, you know, and this is the reason why people have been leaving their houses, because they had to choose. I need to feed the family, or I pay for the car, or I pay for the house, but I cannot do for the three of them. I need to make some choice, and they were leaving the house. So basically, we are at the point where Macron wants to continue on the WEF agenda regarding the electrifications of transportations, pushing people to buy EVs when the cost of EVs is just like horrendous.
Yeah.
And on top of it, because the electricity price in Europe is indexed on the price of gas. And this is Germany who wanted, in fact, to implement these rules in the way that they will be killing our economy due to the non-competitivity of our electricity. So basically, if the guy is buying an electrical car, he will have to pay for an electrical bill, which is indexed on the gas. So basically, what is the point? You see? And you know,
it's a shame that, you know, it seems like Europe, from France to Germany to London, doesn't have the will to survive as a culture. I don't know.
The industry is collapsing because no cheap energy anymore. Yeah. The population is getting old. We are getting replaced by a massive immigration of people that cannot integrate themselves in our way of living. Those people, they have been pushing very hard on the level of debt, to the point right now that there is no service of the debt. They are just raising money on the market to reimburse the debt. Yeah. It's exactly what is happening in USA, actually. Yeah? What is coming in the next October or November, my God, this is like a very scary story. Because United States right now is obliged to reimburse something at $2 billion per day because there is a massive rollout of the debt, which is like $9 trillion. I don't know how you're gonna do that, but this will have a major impact, because at the moment, the market are going to realize that the level of indebtedness of the government is not sustainable anymore. And they are going to realize that the investment that has been made into the artificial intelligence without any business model, in fact, to get a return on investment, this is going to explode. On our side, this is going to be even worse, because we don't have any economy. And the job is already shrinking to a point that this is unacceptable, you know?
One more question. I don't know if you saw it, but Zelensky and his crew in Ukraine did a big celebration of the return of the bones of Melnik, which they buried. He was a Nazi collaborator, big time fascist. And there's all kinds of images of Zelensky saluting him and people in the streets, Sieg Heil and all this. Did you see that spectacle in Ukraine?
Oh, yes, I saw it. And what is scaring me is that none of the media in Europe are raising this issue at the level it should be, because this is a rehabilitation.
Yeah.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Here in Europe, nobody. This is a rehabilitation of Nazism. Mm. But if you look at the background of most of the executives that are involved in the coup of Maidan and the support of Ukraine, all of them, they have roots related, in fact, to Nazism. Look, van der Leyen, his father was a good friend. No, his grandfather was a good friend of Hitler.
Yeah.
You take most of the leaders that are involved in this story, they are very close with. And it seems to me that this is a sort of revenge that the grandchildren are taking and masquerading this and putting some makeups to show how democratic Ukraine is, when in fact, when you look at the fact, you know, you cannot sustain this. When
it's the Fourth Reich. I've said it for some time that this EU thing that is growing is very, very dark, and people have no idea. I like that concept of revenge from World War II. I think that is entirely possible, that that's what's happening.
You know, last summertime, I was in front of the Minister of Foreign Affairs of France. His name is Jean-Noël Barrot. Mm-hmm. And there was about 800 people in the room. I was on TV in real time, and I have been asking this guy if he was endorsing the fact that in Ukraine, in most of the cities, you have boulevard, avenues, street, place, on the name of Shushkevich or Bandera. Mm-hmm. People that have been participating to the Shoah by bullet and killing 1.4 million Jewish. Mm-hmm. And instead of addressing my question, because it was very embarrassing, because I told him that he was entitled to be sued and to have to pay a fee of 45,000 euro and 5 years in jail. And so basically, for his defense, he started to be completely hysterical, ignoring the question. Of course, he cannot answer it, because if he answers, he recognized the fact that there is a major problem in Ukraine regarding, in fact, the rebirth of Nazism and the rehabilitation of this ideology that is absolutely unacceptable.
And especially spreading to Europe and Canada as well. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, you know, think about that. You remember who was Victoria Freeland?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
Victoria. Her name is...
you mean the one woman in Canada who...
The Minister of Foreign Affairs.
Chrystia Freeland?
Chrystia Freeland. Chrystia, yeah. Not Victoria. I'm confusing with Victoria Nuland. Mm-hmm. Chrystia Freeland, grandmother... was her name at that time was Chomiak. She was a great friend of Goebbels and Hitler.
Yes, I know.
You know, she was running with her husband a newspaper to sustain the Nazi ideology in Moldavia and Ukraine.
And she had a Nazi veteran in the Parliament of Canada, where they gave him a standing ovation.
I remember.
Yeah.
What was his name?
Siri, I have to go. I could talk to you all day, but I have to go. We'll have you back, okay? And we'll talk about this some more. But thank you very much for coming on today. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Todd. Bye-bye. Okay.